Chapter 2, Inferno. Being in the flow from the get-go. I was born in Flow Hospital, on the corner of Ponder and Scripture Streets. Can this be a sign? Flow was also at the head of Fry Street, next to the NTSU campus. I would migrate back to the headwaters of this natal stream in years to come. I was named William Richard, so that I would have a good Texan name, Billy Dick. Alas, in the march of progress, Flo was torn down along with its ancient post oak trees and replaced with soulless condominiums in the early 2000s. Being born feels just about as you'd expect, one hell of a squeeze. All I remember is the event itself, then breastfeeding. If people could remember that more frequently, bottle feeding would be illegal, except for emergencies. All the pleasure circuits were turned on. Nature wants babies to enjoy their milk. Half the year, Texas is an inferno with chiggers. North Central Texas sits on the borderline between both East and West climates, and North and South climates, so it can get just about any weather, mostly intolerable, and sometimes violent. Early settlers, especially womenfolk, homebound in the constant roar of prairie wind, not infrequently went insane. It hardly rained at all when I was born, as 1955 was a La Nina year, and the drought lasted about 4 years. The Army Corps of Engineers built a dam in Denton County to make what became Lake Louisville, completing it in 1955. At that time, people were driving on lake beds. They thought it would take many years to fill the lake. A few months later, water was over the spillway, and Dad saw a refrigerator tumbling downstream in the street in Denton. Just decided to start raining again, which produced a plague of mosquitoes, which produced a plague of frogs. When I was 2, we left what was very nearly a shotgun shack for another rented home at 505 Welsh Avenue, across the street from NTSU. This put us squarely in the thick of studentia. I remember the squeal of tires as young hormone-crazed drivers with gassed-back hair made question-mark skids in the street, which was the style at the time. Music training started early for me. I remember the cacophony of early rock and roll, which I detested without any prompting. Doo-wop? Doo-wop what? This did not prevent me from doing Elvis impressions with a ukulele. My taste was strictly classical from the start. Mom made a note finder, which is a piece of cardboard with treble and bass clefs, a string looped vertically over the front and back, and a black button for a note head. I started reading music and words at age 3. It's easier for a child to learn from a teacher outside the family, so even though Mom was a skilled pianist, she took me to lessons from a graduate student at NTSU. The teacher was a violist, and I loved to hold it like a cello and pretend to play. By age 4, I provided the music for a dance class for young children. My first performance was at age 5 during a show put on by my first grade class. I was dressed as a clown fireman with a big fireman's hat on. In those days, I had a very short buzz haircut given by my mother. Before the concert, she gave me a haircut that included a large raised star on the top. We colored this white and the rest of my hair blue and hid it under my hat. I played some simple Bach piece on a harpsichord, and at the end of the music, I took a deep bow and, as a grand flourish, doffed my fireman's hat. Much applause ensued. Many of our family friends were from the colleges. Bill Loya, who taught philosophy at TWU, and his wife Mary and 5 kids were close friends. We also knew George Morey, who conducted the NTSU Orchestra and taught flute, and several other faculty members. One of these was Dr. Paul, a Pakistani, who suffered from being mistaken for a Mexican. In those days, this was worse than being black in the eyes of the typical white yahoo. Dr. Paul and his family came to our house to cook and enjoy a feast with home-style cooking. banishing the women from the kitchen, Paul showed my dad how it's done. Lining up can after can of spices, he emptied all of them over the chicken and vegetables, much to the amazement of my father. Now, Dad would chomp down hot chilies like they were carrots, but this was another order of heat altogether, not to mention expense. But the end result was, while fiery and almost explosive, magnificent. Lesson. If someone from South Asia tells you a dish is spicy, believe them. We also knew Tom and Isabel Miller. Tom was an architect who designed a modern meeting house for the newly formed Unitarian Fellowship, built during our stay in Texas. Mary Loya describes the group, quote, "It was very much a humanistic experience. We gathered, taught our kids through Unitarian Sunday school materials, wrote down our own sermons or talks, listened to live music, had dinners together, went on camping trips, talked and argued a lot over issues like politics, theology, and budget, and enjoyed the entire experience. But God was seldom a topic of conversation, and Jesus never." Close quote. During my whole life with my family, church was not a place for religion, except as a kind of historical subject for study. There was no worship and nothing in that community that pointed to anything of a transcendental nature. Our church was basically a habit, something that people wanted to keep going even after abandoning the traditional belief systems. That old-time religion was not good enough for us. Eventually, of course, I went a very different way in the matter of all rebellious youth. Leaving Denton for Good, Part 1. The Eisenhower administration was not a happy time to be a liberal in Texas. Actually, come to think of it, there probably have been no times when it's been easy, except in little enclaves now and again. Denton and Austin and a few other little pockets have been liberal refuges centered around the universities, growing significantly after the influx of damn Yankees and air conditioning. But in the 50s, the land was very much in the hands of good old boys. My dad saw little chance of advancement at work, and so by 1957, we were putting aside money to move back to New England, land of Emerson, Cotton Mather, the Red Sox, and Four Seasons. When you're used to the fall in the Northeast, watching leaves turn brown in Texas just doesn't quite cut it. And dodging tornadoes gets old. One hopped over our house and knocked down a large sign next door. In the spring of 1958, Mom wanted to make some pizza, but due to the drain of saving for the move, couldn't afford pizza mix, so she had to learn to make her own. In combination with what she and Dad had learned from Sicilians in Massachusetts, plus a few southwestern additions, jalapenos, and some experimentation, voila, an excellent recipe. This was before the days of pizza joints. Mom was already making bread that was quite a hit, and students started dropping by for the food. We renovated the kitchen, put in three ovens, bought a big freezer, installed a sign on the front lawn, and went into business. All three kids pitched in, and things went quite well. In over 3 years of operation, we sold 18,000 pizzas for a dollar apiece. This made our move possible. I started in nursery school at 3, kindergarten at 4, and first grade at 5, a year early. I didn't quite catch the point of all this. My favorite activity in first grade was the swing set, which, by some convolution of values, was also the punishment. Naturally, I figured out how to misbehave in order to be able to go out and swing. The teachers didn't realize that I could do that for hours and not mind at all. By the election of 1960, our moving plans were well advanced. Our family's backing of Kennedy over Nixon was not a very popular stance outside the college circle of friends, so we felt even more isolated. The next summer, I told a neighbor who had several teeth that we were moving to Massachusetts. He said, "You need to say it the way they do, Massachusetts," which I didn't. And so we packed up the Studebaker station wagon, filled a moving van with our stuff, and hit the road in the summer of 1961, destination Yankee Land. I remember being overwhelmed by so much greenery on the way north, and for the first time, I saw hills and valleys. Amazing.